Wow, praise God, praise God. And wow, it's just awesome to be here, and it's just been a life-changing weekend. I've just been very impacted by the love and the celebration. You know, you've celebrated me in ways that nobody else has, so praise God. I'm going to just keep coming back whether you like it or not. But praise God. Give someone a high five and sit down. Take your seat. Worship. Oh, man, that was outstanding. Excellent. And I meant to say this morning, too, just loving the worship in this house and just so get touched by God. And many times when I've been here and in the other building, you know, the worship has really brought me to tears, and I've just valued the anointing that's in this house. You don't rush worship. You don't just make it as part of the, quick this or that. It's wonderful. And singing out in tongues there tonight, it was great. I love that. And so I want to say thank you again to Pastor Rob and Denise for such a fabulous weekend and celebration. And it's also wonderful the way you've received Peter with me and my daughter Peter, who is amazing in the prophetic. So if you've come for prayer tonight, and I think we're praying for children as well tonight, so that's great. You mentioned that, Kane. And it's so much, we don't realize how much children do take on board. I was in a church recently, actually it was a bit of a difficult service because it was Mother's Day, and the pastor's wife, there'd been a great battle in prayer for her health, and yet many times we see people healed, and but this lady went home to be with the Lord in February. And we had, then it was Mother's Day, so I was doing the Mother's Day service in the church. And I love the prophetic. I love people being encouraged. And I know it was a Mother's Day service, so I was sort of keeping it more contained because people had to go and have lunch with their mothers. But the Holy Spirit kept highlighting these four young lads up the back, and they looked a bit larrikin-y. They looked a little bit like they were looking at their watches and waiting for me to finish. And I thought, I can feel the Holy Spirit wanting to speak to them, but the same token, I thought they might get cranky with me. But anyway, I called them out, and they were lovely young men, and the Lord gave me a word for each one of them. And at the end of the service, one of the ladies leaders came up, and she said, you know, those four boys were Marion's sons. They'd come that Sunday to support their dad. And isn't it just like God to honour a mother's prayer? Yes. Look after my boys and look after my family. And they're doing well and they're going on for God. But I love the prophetic. I noticed that there were a couple of young girls around the age of 12 were taking up the communion glasses. And I just mentioned it's great to see the young, really young ones involved. And one of them was sort of just kept looking at me. And she finally came over very shyly and she said, when I was about 6 years old, you prayed for me. I had a sore throat. And I was so touched that this meant so much to this 12-year-old, that someone had bothered to pray for her. And so I want to say, you know, we're really pleased to pray for children tonight. They have destinies that are huge. Amen. But I want you to open your Bibles tonight. As we said, we're here to pray for people. But I feel also God has put a word on my heart for tonight, and thank you, Jesus. So we're going to go to the book of Esther. And I've spoken out of the book of Esther a number of times. And often from different aspects. But I was reading Esther recently, and the Lord highlighted a scripture and began to talk to me about the season that we're in and that we're coming into. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you're a good, good Father. We thank you that it's Pentecost Sunday. And we love and honor the Holy Spirit here tonight. And we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so I'm just going to give a very quick background in this story, a bit of a rundown, but we're not going to go into it in depth. But most of you would know the story of Esther. It's only a small book in the Bible, but it is so prophetic for this hour. Amen? And you will not find the name of God overtly written anywhere. It's actually it's Esther's name means hidden. And sometimes it seems like God isn't working. You know, we sing that song, even when he's not, even when we don't feel it, he's working. Even when we can't see it, he's working. And you actually, you know, you may seem like God's absent in your circumstances, but God's word tonight is here to tell you he's right on track with where you are. He knows exactly how you feel, and he's got a plan for the next season of your life. Amen. And so it's the story of a king, King Ahasuerus. His name means Lion King. And he is over 127 provinces, pretty much all the known world. He's a very, very powerful king, and he's throwing a banquet. And he decides he wants to have his beautiful wife, Queen Vashti, come and parade her beauty. God loves to display the beauty of the church. Amen. He's coming back for a glorious bride and a glorious church. And the Bible says she refused to come. And so the king was very upset with that. And his nobles said, this is going to be a very shameful thing, very discrediting. And so Vashti was actually put aside and demoted. And they went to search for another bride for the king. And that's when all the beautiful maidens, the candidates, came. And in the midst of that, a young Jewish girl called Hadassah was chosen. There's a changing of the guard. Amen. God is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. He's coming back for a bride that wants to obey the king. In fact, Vashti was off having her own banquet, doing her own thing. And there is a disqualification that's going on, whether people realize it or not. And the Spirit of God is searching for a bride. He's searching for an end-time bride. And the Bible says that Hadassah, which means lowly myrtle bush, she had no idea of her destiny. It was all—it was not only hidden in the Bible, the name of God is hidden, but her destiny was hidden from her. Many of you do not have a real understanding of the degree God wants to work in your life and bring you forth. Amen? And God is about bringing people through to their destiny very quickly in this hour. And so the king chooses Esther, and she's on the throne. And for about 5 years, she's there getting used to being in the palace. And who knows, here she was. She was an orphan girl who had no way of promoting herself, and yet she was chosen and brought into the king's palace. And that's like us. We were orphaned, in a sense. The Bible says that we were adopted into the family of God. And we came from many different backgrounds. I came from a background of being involved in drugs, and my family was in chaos. My dad was a heavy drinker. There was a lot of sickness. There was a lot of fighting, suicide attempts, ambulances coming and going. It was a very chaotic home life, and I certainly couldn't bring friends home. There was a lot of shame involved in my early years, and then once I got involved in all sorts of things and eventually became a single mum, which added a new dimension of shame. And when you get saved, who knows that you're born again instantly, but it takes a while for you to realize that you're loved, that you have a new identity, because what's defined you has controlled you. And I had an inferior, shame-based, negative personality. And it took a while for me to realize that that's not me anymore. That's not the person I am today. But Jesus chose me before the foundation of the world. And he chose you. And he's got a plan for your life. And just as Esther was brought out of the shadows, or Hadassah, given a name, Esther, which means star. And God's going to cause your life to reflect his glory. Amen. And so she's chosen. 5 years, she's learning royal protocol. She's learning what it is to be loved. She's learning what it is to go from being a peasant to a princess. Who knows, you can't go into the throne room smelling of the barnyard. Amen? And so God had taken her through the processes, as we see the type and shadow there in the book of Esther. But what happens is that there is an enemy called Haman, Prince Haman. And whether Esther realized it or not, she's about to become part of an ancient war that has been going on through the centuries between Christ and Satan. And at that time, it was between the Amalekites and the people of Israel. And way back in the time of Saul, he was told to wipe out the Amalekites because the Amalekites were evil. They would pick off the sick and the infirm, the pregnant. He'd pick off those that were stragglers. And God said, I hate that spirit. I do not want the Amalekites around. And what happened with Saul was, when he was told to wipe them out, he kept King Agag because he wanted to show off how powerful he was. And what happened then was Agag, through the centuries, eventually spawned through his hereditary line a man called Haman, Prince Haman. And so here we see that ancient war is about to be manifested, because Mordecai, Esther's uncle, was a Jew, and Jews never bowed to Amalekites. And so everybody else would bow to Haman, but Mordecai would just stand, because God said, don't bow to that Amalekite. Don't bow to the Amalekite spirit. And so he got so furious, he got this, he plotted and he tricked even the king, and he got an edict to actually kill all the Jews, which would include Mordecai. And so we know that in that time, word gets to Esther, and she's a bit reticent, and then Mordecai said, tell the queen that who knows that she's called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And if she refuses, she will perish with her father's household, and God will raise up someone else. And so that's where Esther, she makes the decision to fast and pray, and she goes before the king. And as we know, she has those two banquets, exposes the plot of Haman. And in the meantime, Haman had built gallows to kill Mordecai. He was so angry with Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't bow. And even though he was in a very privileged position, he said, I can't be happy because that man won't bow to me. And so he built this gallows. And so as the king finds out that actually Haman is behind this plot to kill the queen and to wipe out the people of Israel, someone says, well, he's built gallows for Mordecai. And the king says, go and hang him on his own gallows. And we see the gallows as a type of the cross, that Jesus took every enemy. He broke the power of Satan. He held your old sin nature and mine. He held your sin. He held your problems, and he held them to the cross, and he held them there. And he took everything upon himself. And he held that drug addiction. He held that fear. He held that stronghold. And he broke it at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. So you and I could be free. But you see, there's a walking out. And as Esther went to the king, and she was given the house of Haman, given the authority to Mordecai, and she went to the king and she said, this edict's out there that my people are going to be killed and destroyed. She said, how can I endure to see the sufferings of my people? I want to ask you tonight, what wrecks you? What keeps you awake at night? What stirs your heart? When you think of young people in the age of 9, 10, and 11 running the streets, when you think of people deciding to take their life tonight, when you think of those that are, I remember talking to someone and praying for them in a meeting in Cairns years ago on an altar call. And as this lady was there and I prayed for her, she said, this was my last, giving God one last chance tonight. And there had been an issue in a family, and I had no idea what it was, but I prophesied over, and I was prophesying before she talked to me. And I said this to her, it's time to throw Jonah overboard. Whatever's happening, there's someone in your life you have to get rid of. It's time to throw Jonah overboard. And she talked to me later, and she said, I know exactly who you mean. And tonight, she said, it was my last time. I was going to go back to the pubs. I was going to walk away from Christianity. I want to say tonight, there are people that are waiting to hear the call, that are waiting to have a word of hope, that are waiting for you and I to bring that word to them. Amen? And she said, King, can't you just stop that edict? And he said, it doesn't work like that. That there is that law has gone out. The law of sin and death has gone out. But Esther, you and Mordecai write a new law, and write it in the king's authority. And as you release that word, it's going to bring the breakthrough. And I want you to know tonight that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. That it's a higher law. It's a greater power. It's a greater word tonight. And God is going to release people by the power of his word. And the Bible says that they got together. and they wrote an edict. And I want to say that there is power in writing down the decrees and the promises and the word of God. The word of God works mightily on our behalf, amen, but not when it's sitting on the shelf, amen. I love what Reinhard Bonnke said. He said, God will lift you out of the deepest, darkest pit, but you have got to lift yourself out of your own armchair and go and get your Bible and read it, amen. God won't renew your mind. It's up to us to renew our minds. It's up to us to get the word into our hearts. And so what happens is Esther and Mordecai are there and they're writing and they write out that edict and it goes throughout the land, and everywhere that they get this word, they start to get excited. They start to have a change of heart. They start to get hopeful, because there was a particular day where they were going to be wiped out. And the edict said on that very day, you can be armed and dangerous. You can take the enemy's weapons and you can defend yourself. And the Bible says that on the very day that it happened, that they went forth to destroy them, the reverse happened, and they had victory over their enemies. And the king came to Esther and he said, Esther, Shushan's in an uproar and there are this many that have been killed. No Jews were killed. And he said, what do you want to do? And she said, let's do it again tomorrow. And glory to God, they destroyed the family of Haman. And the Bible says that there was a feast introduced, and it was called the Feast of Purim. And it was a feast of 2 days as a celebration of this great victory, the reversal of the plots of the enemy. Who's your Haman tonight? What's Billy Gallows and said, you're never going to get free of this problem. You're always going to struggle in this area. There'll always be an issue with one of your children, or that one's not going to get saved. And what's your Haman tonight that has mocked you and blocked you? I want to tell you, it's coming down because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And only God can take what was an occasion of distress and terror and intimidation and make it the occasion of a 2-day celebration of victory and breakthrough. Amen? And I want us to just have a look here, because I just wanted to give you a quick overview, because we're going to go back to Esther chapter 8. Because as I was reading Esther chapter 8, and prophetically the Lord speaks in symbols oftentimes, and particularly to me, there are things that he shows me. And then I was reading this, and where it says here, we pick it up in Esther chapter 8, and it says there that they wrote and they sealed it with the king's signet ring, the new decree that they would be able to stand and fight and gain the victory. And it says there, he wrote it in the name of King Ahasuerus, verse 10, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal steeds, bred from swift steeds. And by these letters, the king permitted the Jews to gather, to protect, to destroy, kill and annihilate all the forces that would come against them. And if you drop down there, it says that in verse 16, the Jews, everywhere this message went, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a holiday, and many people became Jews because of the victory that was imminent. I want to say that sounds like revival to me. Everywhere that message went, they had joy, they had gladness, they were feasting, they were partying, they were celebrating. God is with us. God is giving us the victory, amen? And as I was reading that, it says there that the letters were sent by swiftly bred horses. It just jumped out at me, and the Lord said this, it's time to release the horses. It's time to release the horses. Because the Bible says in Zechariah 10:3, for the Lord of hosts attends to his flock, the house of Judah. He will make them like his royal steed. He will make you like his war horse in battle, his majestic horse in battle, some translations say. And the type and the shadow is this. Horses today, if you're driving along and some horse gallops past you, you think, oh, that's pretty cute. We must be in the country now. But horses were the fastest mode of transport back then. You're talking about speed. You're talking about supernatural signs and wonders, because Elisha, when he saw Elijah get taken up into heaven, he said, my father, the horsemen thereof and the chariots. They speak about supernatural power. And, you know, today the fastest car apparently is a, it's just probably when I was watching the Bathurst. No, I didn't. I looked it up. And it's a Hennessy Venom. And it goes 485 miles, kilometres an hour, followed by the Bugatti that goes 435 kilometres an hour. You'd think it'd get blown off the road at that speed. But you see, when you're talking about horses, you're talking about supersonic jets. You're talking about the latest speed. That was their greatest mode of transport. And horses speak about power. You know the word horsepower. You know, so much horsepower. That came from when they brought in steam engines to work in the mines, and they worked out how many horses got replaced by a steam engine. And it's talking about power. And I believe God's going to cause us to be plugged into a power surge of the Holy Ghost. Amen? I thought Cain was going to preach tonight. That was awesome. Whoa! Could have had a holy, an altar call right then and there, and I would have been out. Glory to God. The power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes Hollywood's prophesying before the church does. Sometimes there's messages that are coming through, even in the media. And I was at a church quite a while ago, and it was overseas, and we had a week or so of ministry, and they said, Friday night we're having a girls' night off, and we're going to have pizza, and we're going to watch a movie. And I thought, oh yay, a movie, this sounds great. I hope it's a nice mystery, or even Star Wars or something like that, you know. And they said, no, it's a Walt Disney story. I said, oh, yeah, yay. It's about a horse. Oh, double yay. Oh, right on. Yes, that sounds so exciting. Anyway. Being gracious and being a visitor and a guest, you know, I rocked up there thinking, this will be a waste of an hour and a half. And sorry. I was trying. But anyway, they played this movie. And I would never watch this movie in normal conditions. In normal conditions. But I was there under duress, being polite, smiling. But as I watched this movie, and I began to cry in a certain place, God said, you want to see a picture of my end time church? This is it. And I sat there and I wept and I wept. And I was so touched. And it's the story of a horse called Secretariat. It was the fastest racehorse in America, and definitely one of the fastest, they say the greatest racehorse of all times. And it actually was the story of it winning the Triple Crown. And there's only 13 horses that have ever won the Triple Crown, and they did a virtual race in the COVID time, and they said he still ran faster, you know, than if you projected it, than any of the other horses. The Triple Crown, it was what they called the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes. And and it's very, very true to what exactly happened. You can watch the actual, you know, race on YouTube. And this is a reenactment. And what happened in the races, that this horse was very, very prone to come from behind. So the horse, it would always be laid back, running from behind, and then in the very towards the end of the race, it had come to the front. And I want you to know that sometimes God lets the devil go first. Sometimes it's like, well, do your worst, because I'm going to get greater glory. I'm going to show up and show off. There, you knock yourself out, buddy. You got no idea what my churches are going to do to you. And we see that in this story. It goes through the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and it's just winning by a nose. And the last race, the Belmont Stakes, is the furthest long and grueling track. It's three times longer. Most horses, they don't win. That's where they are. It's a graveyard for horses, the long-distance Belmont Stakes. And so it's twice as long and arduous. And And so they've watched as this horse has just come from behind and nosed ahead in the last derbies. And this is the last race. And over time, over the other ones, there was just between him and another horse called Sham. And isn't it like the enemy's greatest weapon is shame, isn't it? He's going to shame, maim and blame you all your life if you let him. But anyway, there's only five horses now that they think have any way of winning this last race for the Triple Crown. And I want to just show you, because I feel like God wants to encourage you, that this is a picture of you as a goodly horse in battle, that his church is going to be in a majestic war horse in these last days. And so if we could dim the lights and play the short clip we got. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just don't fall off. Hallelujah. We are going to make his name famous in the earth. Hallelujah. We're not going out with our tail between our legs. We are going to make his name glorious in the earth. Hallelujah. Are you ready to run? Hallelujah. Tell someone, I'm ready to run. I'm ready to run with passion. I'm ready to run for Jesus. I'm all in. I'm boots and all. The cross before me and the world behind me. I want to say this. On that glorious day, we're going to say, I'm glad I was fervent. I'm glad I went to the house of God. I'm glad I invited people. I'm glad I went to the prayer meetings. I'm glad I brought my kids to church. Because on that day, hallelujah, not one of us will say, I think I went to church too much and I just went to one too many prayer meetings and I was a bit of a fanatic. No, glory to God. I want you to know it's time to run. Supernatural power. And I want to say it's a word from God for this church. It's time to run, because you're going to outrun the chariots of Ahab. And the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God and King. And you are called to run in this last relay race. And we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, as you saw in that film. And I believe God is handing down the baton for runners in this hour. And he says, will you run for me? Will you run for me? And I want to say, it's all about Jesus. Everything we do is in the light of eternity. Everything, how we live, is in the light of eternity. Church is not relegated and God's not relegated to just on Sunday. He's part of your everyday life. He's part of your daily journey. He's the first thing you think of when you wake up and the last thing you think of before you put your head on the pillow. Can we just stand right now? Could I have the musicians come? God is releasing supernatural Holy Ghost power over this house. And he has called this house to be an end time church full of the fire of God. Amen? And I believe that you're going from strength to strength and glory to glory. And you're going to go faster and faster in the purposes of the kingdom. You will outlast others. You'll have endurance that will go above and beyond. Amen? Who said you wouldn't make it? Who said you wouldn't last the distance? Who said you weren't qualified? But I want to say, he came first, riding upon a donkey, a suffering servant in humility, but he's coming back as the rider of the white horse. And he's saying, will you ride with me? And I believe he's gathering war horses in this nation, ready for the greatest move of God, as the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and King. And we praise God. I know our nation has a lot of things to sort out, but we have a Christian prime minister. How awesome is that? And we have churches like MCF that are forging ahead in the power of God and in the purposes of the kingdom. Just right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are here tonight, invited by a friend, maybe you come now and then. But I want to say this. If you would like to give your life completely to Jesus Christ, if you would like to be born again, the only thing you will be asked when you stand before God is, what did you do with the invitation of salvation through the cross of Calvary? What did you do with the work of the cross? My son died to give you a new heart, to wipe away sin and to take away your old sin nature, and you could be born again. And I thank God someone bothered to tell me about Jesus. And I was just hell-bent on the next party, the next get-together with friends to smoke dope. My daughter Peter is here tonight by the grace of God. Her first birthday party was a dope party. Everybody was stoned. And I thank God. Because he not only saved one life, he saved two. And praise God, tonight he can do the same for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, all I'm going to ask you to do, if you're making that decision, and this is a decision, God respects your free will. He won't frog march you into heaven. You choose to go your own way, he won't force you. But tonight, the invitation is there. And so, in the next few seconds, if that's you, all I'm going to ask you to do is slip up your hand till I see it, then I'm going to get you to put it down. And it's an indication you're making a decision. God bless you. I see that hand up there. You can put it down. Anyone else tonight? We live in an uncertain world. God bless you, sir, up there back there. I see your hand. That's awesome. I honor you for that decision. Anyone else tonight? Glory to God. Anyone else tonight? God bless you, darling. I see that hand. That's awesome. Anyone else tonight? God bless you, lovely lady there. I just... So thank God that you've made that decision. If that was all I came to Mackay for, it was well worth the whole 7 hours waiting in the airport before I got on the plane, let alone being here, which has been a great joy. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. I don't want to miss anyone. That none should perish, Jesus said. He said, I desire that none should perish, but it's your decision. And decisions have consequences. Tonight, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I want to pray. We're going to pray with those people that raised their hands and those of you that raised your hand. We're going to pray a prayer that will help you express from your heart tonight an invitation to ask Christ into your life. So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up the door of my life. And I ask you to come in, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive you now. And thank you, Jesus, that I'm born again. I'm adopted tonight. I belong to you. And you belong to me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you're coming back to God, please let someone know. And if you're a pastor or a leader, just slip up your hand so they can see any of these people with their hands raised, come and see them and just say, hey, I gave my life to Christ tonight, and they're going to give you some literature and let you know how you can connect with the house of God, because when we're truly saved, there is a great desire to get to know Christ and to follow his plan and purpose for our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I just want to pray for people. And right now, just I want to pray a corporate prayer, because this is an Esther house. God spoke to me and said, this is an Esther house earmarked for my glory. And tonight, if there's a Haman, if there's something that has been in your face. I was sharing yesterday morning about an infirmity that I got diagnosed with, but they said there was no cure, and there was a certain percentage of people that got all these dire stuff happening, but you know, God healed me, and that Haman came down. And whether it's an infirmity, whether it's a family issue, whatever it is, I want you just to lift your heart tonight, and we're going to pray right now, because the power of the Holy Spirit is in the house. Father, tonight I thank you. We're in the house of glory. We're in the house of your power. We thank you, Lord, that you broke captivity captive. You took captivity captive and broke the power of the biggest Haman, which was Satan, and you destroyed his power and every other Haman. You broke the power of infirmity. You broke the power of drug addiction. You broke the power of a broken heart. Someone here is struggling in the area of a broken heart, a relationship And God is just healing that heart tonight. You're going to know what it is to reconnect in a great way with the life that's around about you. There's people here tonight and you have a desire to be married. And I just hear the Lord say, this is a supernatural year of divine relationships, of blessings in that area. And Father, I just pray right now, where the Haman has been a singleness, where it's been even something that has mocked people, that you'll always be alone. God's breaking loneliness off people's lives tonight. He's breaking fear off people's lives tonight. He's breaking poverty. People that have struggled, and even because of COVID, God is bringing a miracle financial blessing and breakthrough over your life tonight. Because wherever the king's message went, there was revival, there was joy, there was gladness, there was celebration, there was a party. Amen? Hallelujah. Just lift your hands once more. Father God, tonight we receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We receive a fresh infilling of your fire, of your power, of your Holy Ghost anointing, of your Holy Ghost anointing, for the anointing breaks the yoke. Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost, come, come, Holy Ghost, fill, fill, fill to overflowing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of God says, fill, be filled and keep on being filled. Be filled and keep on being filled. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we do come and pray for people later on, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, please let me know, or whoever's praying for you, Peter. Because we would love to see people filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. But I want to just pray a release of God's blessing over this house. You're beginning a decade like no other. And I believe it's a decade of Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost anointing. And we're in 2021. A new decade has begun. And it's a decade of Holy Ghost power and harvest and victory. The last 10 years have been testing years to bring us and usher us into this year, which is a year of acceleration. And people have waited and waited and waited. But God says, I'm taking my finger off the pause button. There'll be no more delay. There'll be no more defeat. God's crowning you. You know, that horse race and some of the prophetic things about it was, it was a triple crown event. And I believe there'll be a generation that carry the prophet, priest, and kingly authority. And they'll know the voice of God, and they'll have priestly anointing to serve, but they'll be kingly and they'll rule and reign with Christ in the earth. Amen. So give the Lord a high five. Give someone next to you a high five.